Again, it's wonderful to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. As often happens, I had a topic and then the world changed. So I changed the topic a little bit. I call this talk Sharing Merit. I was invited last week. I received an email in Olympia. They were creating and had on Friday night a gathering, interfaith gathering, to pray, to reflect, also to do some fundraising for the people of Japan and the Pacific Islands. And so I was invited to join in that event, and I had the email with the attachment of the flyer for the event. So I opened the attachment, and it was a beautiful, very simple design, black and white with a red sun, and it said, "Japan in my heart." I was verkumpt, you know? it just tugged at me so much, just that, and I realized that so much had been pulling for me in my heart, partly because though I've practiced long in Theravada tradition and Tibetan Buddhist tradition, my first years of Buddhist practice were the gift of Japanese Soto Zen and the few Zen masters who had traveled to the States courageously to offer the teachings, in the late 50s, early 60s, and later in the 60s to us here. And so I understood last week how much Japan is in my heart. And how much I owe that the country and the practices are a spiritual ancestor for me. And I realized, too, that many of us, many here in the States, even those not interested in Buddhism, but have been given this beautiful aesthetic that comes from Japan, from the flower arranging and amazing haiku poetry, the tea ceremony, things that have touched us deeply and inwardly. So, and then I remembered I love the poet Ryokan, as many of you may know, late 18th century, early 19th century poet, again, Japanese Soto Zen. He called himself, and others call him, the Zen Fool, dearly, dearly beloved in Japan. Actually comes from the area around Fukushima, a little bit west, more the coast there, but actually the area of the second quake. Landslides and so forth. And I was thinking of Ryokan, again thinking of my personal spiritual ancestors. And there is a famous line that many, many have heard. It's actually two lines. The second one is maybe more famous. What he said was, or wrote, "When I think about the sadness of the people in this world, their sadness becomes mine." And then he wrote, Oh, that my priest's robe were wide enough to gather up all the suffering people in this floating world. Oh, that my priest's robe were wide enough to gather up all the suffering people in this floating world. And it is very much a statement of a Buddhist. The willingness to feel the suffering in the world with not overwhelm, but connection. Willingness to feel that connection. And then also a heart of compassion that reaches out and wants to help somehow, some way. Because the suffering of others becomes our own as we walk this path. There's no other way. It can't not happen. And then I had the feeling, and you may have had a similar experience, because now our technology, it's just astonishing. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the news, you know, there would be disasters, but the news would come slowly. Disasters far away, but that we could be watching as towns are swept away right in the moment. And, you know, now we have laptops and other small devices. Didn't you have the feeling like you wanted to somehow pick up your laptop and carry those people somewhere safe? That was my feeling, like there they are. You know, couldn't I just pick this up and take it somewhere safe? It's just, it is very strange and unique time in that way with our technology. It's quite wonderful in that help can move quickly then. We learned that with the last great Asian tsunami, that help and aid can come. We can send it quickly. But it's the just bizarre and unique characteristic of the 21st century that this imagery comes to us so quickly. So then I thought that was been how Ryokan felt. You know, he wanted to wrap the suffering people in his robe, and we want to kind of pick up our technology as we're watching this and somehow take the people somewhere safe, take everyone somewhere safe. But our teachings have us realize and reflect that the particular planet we're living on isn't all that safe, and it's nobody's fault. Particularly with the situation of a natural disaster, there isn't anybody to blame. So we can be aware this is just by virtue of being born. Having been born, the teaching is, this will unfold for us. These sorts of things will unfold. There is suffering. There is impermanence. There is constant change. Nothing is solid. The ground isn't stable. So we face this with our hearts and with what courage we can muster, and we want to reach out, and certainly we reach out the way that we can, making material offerings if we have the means to do that. But then what's wonderful in our tradition is that we are given another group, another kind of practice technique called sharing merit, which can help us in these situations, and we can learn to do it. So that's what I want to talk about tonight, give some encouragement and maybe a little instruction in the practice of sharing merit so that we can join our hearts to the heart of the world. In wisdom, in love, in compassion, and reach out to help. I thought, though, that you might enjoy enjoy. Enjoy. Appreciate. Those of you who haven't seen or received this letter via email or seen it in Ode magazine, it's called A Letter from Sendai. You know, some of you familiar with it or no? The woman wrote it on March 14th, a Westerner living in Sendai. Things here in Sendai have been rather surreal. But I'm very blessed to have wonderful friends who are helping me a lot. Since my shack is now even more worthy of that name, I am now staying at a friend's home. We share supplies like water, food, and a kerosene heater. We sleep lined up in one room, eat by candlelight, share stories. It is warm, friendly, and beautiful. During the day, we help each other clean up the mess in our homes. People sit in their cars looking at news on their navigation screens or line up to get drinking water when a source is open. If someone has water running in their home, they put out a sign so people can come fill up their jugs and buckets. It's utterly amazing that where I am, there has been no looting, no pushing in lines. People leave their front doors open as it's safer when an earthquake strikes. People keep saying, oh, this is how it used to be in the old days when everyone helped one another. Quakes keep coming. Last night they struck about every 15 minutes. Sirens are constant and helicopters pass overhead often. We got water for a few hours in our homes last night, and now it is for half a day. Electricity came on this afternoon. Gas has not yet come on, but all of this is by area. Some people have these things, others do not. No one has washed for several days. We feel grubby, but there are so much more important concerns than that for us now. I love this peeling away of non-essentials. Living fully on the level of instinct, of intuition, of caring, of what is needed for survival. Not just my survival, but of the entire group. There are strange parallel universes happening. Houses a mess in some places, and yet then a house with futons or laundry out drying in the sun. People lining up for water and food, and yet a few people out walking their dogs. All happening at the same time. Other unexpected touches of beauty are first the silence at night. No cars, no one out on the streets. And the heavens at night are scattered with stars. I usually can see about two, but now the whole sky is filled. The mountains near Sendai are solid, and with the crisp air, we can see them silhouetted against the sky magnificently. And the Japanese themselves are so wonderful. I came back to my shack to check on it each day, now to send this email since the electricity is on, and I find food and water left in my entranceway. I have no idea from whom, but it is there. Old men in green hats go from door to door, checking to see if everyone is okay. People talk to complete strangers, asking if they need help. I see no signs of fear. Resignation, yes, but fear or panic, no. They tell us we can expect aftershocks and even other major quakes for another month or more. And we are getting constant tremors, rolls, shaking, rumbling. I am blessed that I live in a part of Sendai that is a bit elevated, a bit more solid than the other parts. So far, this area is better off than others. Last night, my friend's husband came in from the country bringing food and water. Blessed again. Somehow at this time I realized from direct experience there is indeed an enormous cosmic evolutionary step that is occurring all over the world right at this moment. And somehow as I experience the events happening now in Japan, I can feel my heart opening very wide. My brother asked me if I felt so small because of all that is happening. I don't. Rather, I feel as a part of something happening that is much larger than myself. The wave of worldwide birthing is hard and yet magnificent. Thank you again for your care and love of me. With love in return to you all. Something about light and care and love in the heart of such difficulty and distress. Something about dignity. Something about prioritizing so that care and compassion come first. Some kind of inspiration there. So in our Buddhist traditions, there is a practice called sharing of merit. At the end of the loving kindness compassion, I shorten it just to a brief phrase, but always make a point of it. May the merit and the benefit that comes to us from doing these practices be shared with all beings. Everywhere. So the feeling is this, and the premise is that any act of goodness, of course our spiritual practice certainly, but any act of goodness has power, actually gives off an energy, and that this power and energy brings back to us a kind of benefit that's called merit. And then what we do is acknowledge that we are receiving this merit, and then we share it with all beings. And it only multiplies in that way. It's kind of homeopathic somehow. The Buddha said, thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of that candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. So there is, in all the traditions, this teaching that goodness, wholesomeness, practice has a power and a benefit, comes to us and can also be transferred or shared with others. There's one list, they speak definitely in the monastic traditions that three bases of merit coming from the practice. The bases are giving, virtue, and mental development. You may have heard those as dana, sila, and bhavana. So sometimes when someone's talking about our Theravada style practice, they will say we cultivate dana, we cultivate sila, we cultivate bhavana, we cultivate generosity of heart, we cultivate ethics or virtuous living, and then we cultivate mental development, we cultivate mindfulness, we cultivate insight. So that's often said, you know, kind of the definition of the three broad areas of our spiritual practice. But it turns out, as many things in the Buddhist tradition show up on all kinds of different lists, the three this and the four this and the five this and the 12 that and so forth, because those were all devices for an oral tradition for remembering, memorizing. So that also is on the list of what activities form the basis for merit, for benefit, for also cause and effect, cause and effect. Again, we learn that in our tradition that we want to begin to cultivate an ability to see the causes and conditions that give rise to certain results. And we notice that happening in our mindfulness practice, that we begin to see causes and conditions giving rise to certain results. And then we realize that there's a choice there. If we get enough mindfulness into these sequences, that there are moments of choice where we can choose to act in ways that we know will create certain wholesome results. We can choose to stop acting in ways that generally give rise to suffering. We learn from experience. We notice in our own experience certain causes, certain conditions that give rise to suffering. And then as our practice deepens and matures, of course, we say, okay, I'm going to make some changes there. We also learn that certain activities and actions cause the arising of wholesomeness. The loving kindness practices, for example, the compassion practices, are powerful activities and actions of mind and heart that we intentionally engage in that will result in goodness and in wholesomeness. And we can see that coming to us, and then we are also encouraged and taught this technique of sharing that benefit, sharing that merit, transferring the merit to all beings. And then, the monks and monastics, monks and nuns will practice, of course, and then they also do chanting and ritual practices, which are, again, considered in this area of wholesome activity, giving rise to benefit and giving merit, and then merit that can be transferred. But then there's a list that lists several things that lay people can do to create meritorious benefit for themselves that then can be transferred, dedicated, shared with others. So in the context of Dana, Sila, Bhavana, they lay it out a little bit more, and I like that, that it's the list is honoring others. Number one would be honoring others. So isn't that nice? I mean, part of our practice is, as I say these, if you would reflect and realize that anything that you do that honors others, other sentient beings, don't just have to be the two-legged one. Sentient beings. You know what sentient beings are? You know, we have sort of our modern scientific thoughts about sentiency and the difference between the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and where's the boundary and all of that and single-celled and who knows. But a sentient being, one way of just defining a sentient being is a being who prefers, if they had a choice, not to suffer. A being that would move toward happiness and away from suffering. Now, I know that you can't get scientific with that at all, but isn't it a nice thing to think about? And to really kind of bring to our present sentient beings, all beings prefer not to suffer. It tugs the heart, doesn't it? So honoring others, offering service, goodness. There's goodness, there's merit, there's benefit there, all the acts of offering service. Involving others in good deeds. The organizers in the group. Involving others in good deeds. The parents in the group. I often say that one thing that I remember in my childhood that had a tremendous effect on the way I felt about life as I grew older was I grew up in a small suburb outside of Chicago. My parents were from Chicago. My father used to say that he grew up in the slums, but my mother's family was really poor. So they made it to, you know, the suburbs, and he had an office job, took the train into the city. But whenever we were, there were three of us kids, and when we got to the stage where there were, usually it would be once this summer, I guess. He'd say, let's gather up all the toys that none of us use anymore. And we took them to an orphanage. I don't know where, but it's just a memory that act, that one should share and pass on what one has, even if it isn't much. Stayed with me. Involving others in good deeds. Being thankful for others' good deeds. You know, when these kinds of things, worldwide tragedies occur, and some of you in the room may be among the people who actually can do this, I just so admire and celebrate. People see that, hear the news, and they're heading for the airport. You know, Doctors Without Borders and people in the Red Cross and so forth. This is what they do. They head right into it, and they know they can help. I mean, you know, me going over there would just be more trouble. I would just be part of the problem, right? We can't go ourselves. And so there's a moment, we wish we could, we can't, but now you could make a choice there. And this distinguishes us as spiritual practitioners. We can go with somehow feeling bad about ourselves, as though, you know, oh man, I'm worthless, I can't go help, what can I do, my income isn't even enough to donate. So we can spiral down into that, the judge, the critic, that kind of regretting and so forth. But there's another thing that we can choose to do that's right on this list. Thankful for others' good deeds. We can celebrate and rejoice in the ability of the young, the strong, the well-trained, you know, those folks who I'm not, who can just, you know, they grab the bag that's always packed and head for the airport. Is quite a wonderful thing, and we can celebrate that with our hearts. And that is an act. It's considered an intentional karmic act in the Buddhist tradition that brings merit to us, and then we can share that merit with others. We can just, by that simple, may the merit that comes from this be shared with all beings. We can also direct it and aim it. Maybe you have some dear ones, or in that case, you would want to share it probably with the people of Japan or the people in whatever geographical area. But then also we can share this merit with friends and loved ones who are in some difficulty or distress. And even it's quite traditional to share merit with those who have died, our dear ones who have died. Because, of course, you know, in the Buddhist tradition, nobody's gone. The journey is continuing. So somewhere on their journey, we can direct the benefit of the merit. So being thankful for others' good deeds, listening to the teachings, listening to the Dharma, instructing others in the Dharma, and straightening one's own views in accord with the teachings. Sort of means getting it. Just keep going till you get it. Then, you know, having an insight some understanding arises. That moment has tremendous merit associated with it. Karmic benefit for us, which then we can share, we can offer to others. So this is quite wonderful news, isn't it? Because any goodness pretty much that one does is on this list. And then in the loving kindness practices, there is one refinement, which is to be aware of goodness. And it actually is considered the proximate cause, the cause that can come before the arising of loving kindness, the cause that can even nudge the loving kindness a little bit, is seeing goodness. So, for example, if there's someone, a relative or someone in your life that you just really struggle trying to send them loving kindness, then if you actually activate this technique, means you have to do it. I knew this technique for years before I actually did it. That's a side effect of we've read so many books and so forth that we're under the impression that if we know something, we've actually done it. But, you know, you read 5 books on downhill skiing, it still doesn't mean you know how to ski, right? You've got to get out there and do it. So the proximate cause is seeing goodness. So if there's somebody that we just can't feel any loving kindness for, loving kindness particularly, then if we can just take a moment and try to see some goodness, you know, maybe they love dogs and you love dogs, so, you know, everything else is not good, but that, you know. Certainly they love their children. You know, there's just ways that we can look to see some goodness, take a moment to think about that, and then that will give rise to some softening of our heart and some of the energy of loving kindness. And good news, this also works, is encouraged in relation to ourselves. So I highly recommend this to you. When, you know, maybe I'm the only one here, but when the states of self-criticism, self-judgment arise, that when we have difficulty with that, when the voice inside is, we're giving ourselves a hard time. So then we need our mindfulness practice to notice. That's important. So we see that this is happening, and then we actually intentionally list for yourself, you know, make a list literally in your mind some of the good things that you've done. And they don't have to be huge. Fed the birds, you know, fed the children. Anyone who's had children sort of has a get out of jail free card with this one. I haven't, but anyone who has woken up in the middle of the night, day after night after night after night, for years sometimes, keeping small beings alive and comfortable, has done enormous goodness. And I know everyone here, the work that you do in the world and so forth, there's enormous goodness. And meditation, even if you come, you sit down, you're exhausted, you breathe a couple times, you fall asleep. This happens to everyone, you know? But it's goodness to be, you just put yourself there, you know? And that tremendous goodness. So then you intentionally make the list, remember these things. And then what will happen is, and you got to try this out, because you actually feel it happen. You feel the the heart lightening and you feel kinder toward yourself. You can actually feel it happening. And then you just keep practicing it. Keep noticing when you're feeling down on yourself or depressed or exhausted or something, then to list, to recognize the goodness. Because there's something in us that's always making the list about our faults, right? I mean, so we want to counter that with the list of our goodness. Goodness has power. And we want to acknowledge that and be aware of that. Honoring others, offering service, involving others in good deeds, being thankful for others' good deeds. It's a little flavor of mudita here too. Joy at others' happiness, at others' success, rejoicing at others' good deeds. Isn't that great to know that we just have to applaud? And so even when we're feeling like there's nothing I could do, but then we can look and we hear, again, our media, we hear the news of all the things that people are doing. So then celebrate. Take a moment of rejoicing in the good works of others. And that moment has power, has energy. Even if we just turn our mind toward the good, it's actually in the teachings, turning the mind toward the good has this power and energy. Again, something we can do. We're practitioners. We practice. So we know how to do this, to turn our minds and our hearts toward the good and the power of that. And then knowing that it has benefit for us, and then that benefit, that merit that is coming to us can be shared. And we can just do it intentionally, just with a thought. May this be of benefit. Sometimes I don't know about you, but sometimes at the end of a particularly difficult day, and I can sometimes, I just, if there is anything today of benefit to beings, I'd like to share it with all beings everywhere. And it's very comforting, actually, because you realize that regardless of what happened during the day, that particular thought had a lot of power and is actually quite rare on the planet. And so we can celebrate the beings that do that. There's a verse on the website of Thich Nhat Hanh's community. I think it might be plumvillage.org, but I'm sure that the great and glorious Google can find it wherever it is. So it's called Joyfully Sharing the Merit. So again, I'd like to read it to you, and it's a little longish, but I think it'd be worth it. So just put your hearts here. Wherever your body is okay. It can be relaxed. But put your hearts here. Blessed ones who dwell in the world, grant to us compassion. In this and countless lives before, from beginningless time, our mistakes have caused much suffering to ourselves and others. We have done wrong, encouraged others to do wrong, and given our consent to acts of killing, stealing, deceiving, sexual misconduct, and other harmful actions among the 10 unwholesome deeds. Blessed ones, be our witness and look upon us with compassion. Today we are determined with one pointed concentration to repent the obstacles of our past unwholesome actions. Blessed ones, be our witness and look upon us with compassion. We surrender before you and make this aspiration. if at all, within this very life and countless lives before, we have given, even if only a handful of food or simple garment, if we have ever spoken kindly, even if only a few words, if we have ever looked with eyes of compassion, even if only for a moment, if we have ever comforted or consoled, even if only once or twice, if we have ever listened carefully to wonderful teachings, even if only to one talk, if we have ever offered a meal to monks and nuns, even if only once, if we have ever saved a life, even only that of an ant or a worm, if we have ever recited a sutra, even if only one or two lines, if we have ever been a monk or a nun, even if for only one life, if we have ever supported others on the path of practice, even if only two or three people, if we have ever observed the mindfulness trainings, those are the precepts, even if imperfectly, all of this merit has slowly formed wholesome seeds within us. Today we gather them together like a fragrant flower garland, and with great respect, we offer it to all the awakened ones, a contribution to the fruit of the highest path, opening our hearts wide to the perfect highest awakening. We are resolved to attain the great understanding. We will realize compassion and embody deep love. We will practice diligently, transforming our suffering and the suffering of all other species. Please transfer the merits of body, speech, and mind to the happiness of people and all other beings. All Buddhas in the three times and the ten directions have offered their merit, as we are doing today. Repenting all our faults, we joyfully contribute to the immeasurable ocean of merit and the towering peaks of the highest understanding. The Buddhas and the ancestral teachers are the light which shows us the way. In this solemn moment, with all my life's force, I come back to myself and bow deeply with respect. We're not quite done yet, but I had to do that because if you've ever visited this website, there'll be parentheses and it will say bell, bell, bell in various places. And I skipped a few, but I had to give one, you know, bell, bell, bell. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh, the voice of the bell is quite an important one, so... So, that's quite beautiful, isn't it? A verse and a prayer and a very formal and long way of celebrating and sharing merit. But as I say, you can do it very, very quickly, just briefly, make up your own way, make up your own words. But it has tremendous power. It really has power. The goodness has power, and the sharing of merit has power. So the word is merit. In order to just make it clear at the end of meditations for groups, I say may the merit and the benefit. They're actually synonyms, but I know that some people coming to events might not know what the word merit means, but they know what the word benefit means. So again, this sort of, in a way, it seems, well, obvious these things would have merit and benefit, but as with so many things in relation to our practice, our mindfulness and our way of practice gives us the opportunity to slow down enough to actually feel this stuff, to feel how goodness feels, how wholesomeness feels, to be aware that of the moment, you know, the moment when an act of goodness has occurred, and then to honor it with acknowledgement and awareness, and then take this other intentional action, sharing the merit. This is how karma happens. What we experience now is resultant karma. It's the result of, from the Buddhist perspective, acts from beginningless time. And it's very, very complex, so there's no sense in really trying to figure out, well, now, what did I do in a previous life that did this? Sharon Salzberg famously mentions that you know, she talks a lot about how early years she experienced so much knee pain. And one time she asked her teacher, her early teacher, Manindraji, about that, and he just, in a matter-of-fact way, said, well, you know, you probably tore small insects apart in another lifetime. And of course, he just said it kind of not matter of fact. She asked a question, he answered it. But she, being American, was horrified and completely overwhelmed with guilt, you know. But really, you know, don't worry about that. That's past. It's just, again, this vast expanse of time from the Buddhist perspective. Everybody's done everything. And so not so much worrying about that or getting stuck in some kind of thing like, oh, no, you know, mea culpa, but rather here we are. And what can we know about this moment and the next moments? And what we can know is that acts of intention bear karmic fruit. And so we want to make our actions, body and mind and heart. We can have activities and actions of mind and heart, the loving kindness practice, our mindfulness practice, our insight practices. These are actions. You know, you might not notice the body moving around, but they're actions of mind and heart, and they're intentional. Actions with intention bear fruit. Wholesome actions will bear wholesome fruit. Again, we don't know how soon or not because it's all so complicated and the forces of time and so forth coming and going. But we know for certain that at some point these actions will bear fruit. And we have a choice. Again, because of our great good fortune to be introduced and to be a part of a spiritual path that is so rich and so effective, we know then, we realize that we can create actions of mind and heart that will bear wholesome fruit. So that's what we can do now. So we want to do that. We are lay people. We are in daily life circumstance. So we want to take as many opportunities in daily life circumstance to create that, to create those actions, to be involved in those actions. And how wonderful, we just celebrate other people's goodness. We reflect on our own goodness. You know, if we waited to be happy till something successful or beneficial happen to us, you know, some weeks, some months, some years, not so much. But if we instead cultivate also, in addition, not instead, but in addition, the ability and the habit to rejoice and celebrate every time we see someone else happy, having success, or particularly in this context, doing acts of goodness, then wow, the opportunities just in one day, the opportunities to feel happy and then to share merit and share benefit are just multiplied exponentially. So we just need to know it and then to cultivate ways to remind ourselves to do it and then develop the habit. And then over time the habit will kick in and it won't be as hard. We'll just realize and know that seeing any goodness immediately, our response will be celebration and rejoicing. Then we'll share the merit and the benefit. At the end of the day, we'll share any goodness. Just a lovely, lovely and powerful, powerful way of practice. So I'm going to leave you again with another reading. A lot of reading tonight. I hope it's okay. It's good stuff, though, right? Juicy. Juicy. This is a lovely blessing and healing chant. And I'll just set it up for a moment. The comparison here, the imagery is quite beautiful. I'm not exactly sure where it came from. But the older teachings, of course, the Buddha and subsequently, the comparison is so often made to nature and the natural world. And so this one is giving us first the image that rain comes and it fills streams and then it joins into rivers and then it pours into the ocean. And so that sense of just small drops joining larger water and then larger water and then going into the ocean and how that is, it happens, it's lawful, and it's very difficult to block it, you know. Can't run out there and stop the rain. And we sure know that, given where we live. And then a thought then again to our dear friends in Japan and also in the war-torn areas where, and even in just a lot of our industrial world now where the water can not be as pure as we'd like it to be. So this is a little background that somehow our listening and engaging and bringing our hearts to this prayer and blessing will also, the merit of that, we can dedicate it to the protection of the people from pollution and the, whether it's nuclear or otherwise, and the purification of the waters of the world and of our hearts. Just as the soft rains fill the streams, pour into the rivers and join together in the oceans, so may the power of every moment of your goodness flow forth to awaken and heal all beings, those here now, those gone before, those yet to come. By the power of every moment of your goodness, may your heart's wishes be soon fulfilled, as completely shining as the bright full moon, as magically as by a wish-fulfilling gem. By the power of every moment of your goodness, may all dangers be averted and all disease be gone. May no obstacle come across your way. May you enjoy fulfillment and long life. For all in whose heart dwells respect, who follow the wisdom and the compassion of the way, may their lives prosper in the four blessings of old age, equanimity, happiness, and strength. And then for yourself, just as the soft rains fill the streams, pour into the rivers, and join together in the oceans, so may the power of every moment of my goodness flow forth to awaken and heal all beings, those here now, those gone before, those yet to come. By the power of every moment of my goodness, may my heart's wishes be soon fulfilled, as completely shining as the bright full moon, as magically as by a wish-fulfilling gem. By the power of every moment of my goodness, may all dangers be averted and all disease be gone. May no obstacle come across my way. May I enjoy fulfillment and long life. For all in whose heart dwells respect, who follow the wisdom and compassion of the way, may their lives prosper in the four blessings of old age, equanimity, happiness, and strength. Thank you.